This podcast is brought to you by Adidas. Same dogs, new threads. Head to huskyteamstore.com to check out the new collection.
Hello and welcome to the postcast. I'm Josh Kirschenbaum once again with Alec Dietz in the press box of Husky Stadium. It's about 6 o'clock on Saturday, October 19th, and we are here after Washington's 35-31 loss to number 12 Oregon. What happened in that game, Alec?
Looked pretty good for UW from the onset. Obviously, the Ducks get out to that 7-0 lead. They kind of make that first drive look pretty easy. I think Justin Herbert goes 6 for 6. He throws that touchdown pass. But then the Huskies respond. They have two successful touchdown drives. Jacob Eason kind of on fire. That second pass to Jordan Chin was a beauty right over the shoulder. Chin, I think, had to slow down a little bit, but the Huskies get out to the 14-7 lead. And it looked kind of like it did last year with the teams trading blows, going back and forth until the Huskies score right at the end of the second half to go up 21-14.
Second quarter.
Sorry, yeah, you're right, second quarter. And then right out of the gate in the third quarter, they score a touchdown to make it look easy, and suddenly you're looking at a 28-14 lead. And you think the Huskies are kind of in the driver's seat. But then the Ducks go on that 21-3 run to end the game. Justin Herbert looks fantastic. In the second half especially, he kind of struggled in the first, but he goes 24 for 38 for 280 yards, 4 touchdowns. Eason obviously had a pretty good day as well, 23 of 30 for 289 yards and 3 touchdowns. Savon gets it going, but then just those last couple drives, those three and out, Oregon capitalizes, and they come up with the W.
Yeah, I think it's a little funny. I mean, we didn't have one of these postcasts last weekend just because of logistics and all that,
right,
with travel, but the last time we did this was the Stanford game, and I mean, still, I'm not entirely sure what happened
right
against Stanford.
Right.
And I think it's sort of the same thing here, just sort of the other way. I'm not entirely sure what happened that game. I mean, you look at UW finishes with 414 total yards. Jacob Eason has 289 yards and 3 touchdowns with a 190.6 passer rating.
Yeah, right.
Savon Ahmed goes for 140 yards. I mean, like, a whole lot went right, and then all of a sudden UW is down by 4 points with 5 minutes left and can't do anything.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah. I mean, and talking to players after the game, they were sort of saying, like, both Miles Bryant was saying about the Oregon offense and Nick Harris was saying about the Oregon defense, like, they didn't do anything new. There weren't any new play calls. There weren't any adjustments to make. It was just all of a sudden UW was losing, and nobody really knew how it got there.
Right. Yeah. Well, and especially on the offensive end, just when everything's going right, and I mean, you can make a case. Obviously, they scored 51 points last week, but you can make a case this was their best offensive performance of the season.
Yeah, probably.
Going up against one of the best defenses statistically in the country, they made it look easy on so many drives, and then those last, obviously, their ultimate drive at the end there, they drive down and they stall, but before that they had two drives where they went three and out, and Oregon really capitalized off that momentum.
Yep.
So really, I think that was just the difference. You know, you play, if you want to pull off these upsets against these, you know, Oregon's probably gonna be a top 10 team next week. They should be.
Yep, especially with Wisconsin losing and
Georgia
in a close one.
If you want to win the game, you got to put together a full four quarters of football. You can't just play three. And that was kind of the case today. And then, you know, the defense isn't going to get a lot of headlines just because of what happened on that last drive. And it looked like the UW offense could win. But the defense, the run defense, again, looked very consistent in the first half. They're stuffing guys. And then, I think Oregon ends up running for more yards than the Huskies. They get 154 yards rushing there. So just a tough all the way around to kind of enter this bye week next week.
So yeah, talking about that, you got a turning point for us.
Yeah, I think the turning point was not on that last drive, but the drive before, where I believe it was third and short, after two Savon Ahmed runs, gets him into a situation where you can pound the ball, get the first down, drain more clock, and try to win the game. And offensive coordinator Bush Hamden and Chris Peterson elect to run the Wildcat with a guy who entered the year as their fourth string running back and had 7 carries entering this weekend. It gets blown up. Huskies punt the ball away. Oregon goes right down the field and scores, and the Huskies can't come back. And I just think, like, you know, Coach Peterson was very defensive at the press conference about the fact that it had worked all season long. And yeah, it had worked with a guy named Richard Newton, who had put up those kind of numbers. But you're running it with a guy, again, in Kamari Pleasant, who had 7 carries entering this game. I just think that was a huge mistake from the UW coaching staff, especially, you know, your job as a coach is to put players in a position to succeed, and I don't think they did that there.
Yeah, and I can think of at least one other time. I think it was in the second quarter, maybe, where the Wildcat was called on in short yards and did not get it.
Right, right. And well, and you had run a sneak earlier in the game on 4th and short and gotten it. Your
3rd and 2 might have been a little long for that. But
right. You got well, that. Was it in 2?
It was 3rd and 2.
Okay. But you also have Savon Hockman, who's rushed for 140 yards. I know he had run of those 2 previous plays, but you have to give the best players on your team the ball in situations like that. And Kamari Pleasant is just not one of those guys. You got Jacob Eason sitting there. He's kind of I'm not calling him a superstar quarterback, but he's been a very good quarterback for UW this year. And you got a guy named Savon Ahmed who's just been tearing it up the past couple weeks. You got to get one of them the ball. So that's my turning point. What about yours?
Well, let's talk about that Jacob Eason kid and talk about that last drive. I mean, UW gets the ball back with 5:10 left to work with. And that first play gets blown up, but Eason scrambles around and finds Cade Otton free for 22 yards to get UW in business. A couple runs later, they're into Oregon territory, 1st and 10 from the Oregon 42. They get to 2nd and 6 from the 38. And
I know where this is going.
Eason drops back. Oregon blitzes a lot of pressure up the A gap, I think. Might have been over the right tackle, one of those two.
Right.
Eason just doesn't have a play. He's spun away, I think, from the first pressure, goes right into the second pressure, runs away a little bit, falls down for a loss of 12 yards. At this point, the clock is ticking. I think it ticks. He was sacked with around 2 minutes left, I believe. It ticks down to about a minute. 10, minute 5. Washington gets lined up for 3rd and 18, and then Trey Adams gets called for a false start. And at this point, it's really just like things are kind of falling apart for UW. And that false start turns out to be huge because Eason hits Spiker for 20 yards, which would have been enough on 3rd and 18, and was just not quite enough on 3rd and 23 because you don't really have any 3rd and 23s.
Right.
Face 4th and 3, don't get it, and there's your ball game right there.
Mm.
So. And it would have been like Jacob Eason had the chance for a really signature drive. I mean, earlier in the day, at the end of the second quarter, Washington got the ball back with 3 minutes, I believe. Yeah, Washington gets the ball back with 2:59, so pretty much 3 minutes in the second quarter. And the Huskies have been in that situation a lot this season. It just seems to be every weekend they get the ball back with 1 minute left in the second quarter, or 2 minutes, or 3 minutes, or 4 minutes, and they have a chance to go into the halftime with momentum. They really haven't done a great job of it up to this point. This time around, they get it, and they maybe have their best drive of the season.
Like, yeah, definitely a really, really good drive.
8 plays, 75 yards. Eason hits Andre Bocelli for a screen. They get into the end zone. They almost do it too fast. They give Oregon the ball back with 1 minute left, and the Ducks don't do anything with it, and UW goes into halftime with the lead. But Washington had already manufactured one of those end-of-half drives, and it was about halfway through doing it again. And because of that, like when Oregon takes the lead with 5 minutes left, you're like, it's totally possible.
Right. Well, they've been marching up the field, up and down the field all game.
And it basically ended when they marched themselves off the field.
Right. Yeah, totally self-inflicted. And you're right, that false start penalty was huge because you pick that up with Spiker regularly. And then your next play calls a slant to a true freshman in one-on-one coverage. And you could make arguments about a pass interference potentially. A lot of people, apparently the rules expert on ABC said it was pass interference. Just a bang-bang play like that at the end of a game, sometimes the official's just going to keep the flag in his pocket, and you can't rely on a call like that, but still just kind of some last minute mistakes that end up costing you. And again, you wrote your column about this of just, you know, these little mistakes end up proving to be really big in these games.
Yep.
What do you think about the key stat of the game?
It's the running defense. It's the rush defense. It's the rush defense in the second half. I got the, it's the one I put on the instant analysis. Oregon ran for 46 yards in the first half, and you were saying they end up running for 154 on the game, so that's 108 yards in the second half alone. That number goes up to 128 yards if you take out the – they actually lost 20 yards trying to drain the clock with, like, just, like, long kneel plays where Justin Herbert just took the snap and kind of waited until he got pressure and took a knee. That lost him 20 yards. So they were sitting on 128 rushing yards in the second half. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Oregon got the ball back. They scored on 3 of 4 possessions at one point in the second half, I think, to end the game. So discounting those kneel downs, Oregon scores – on a 10-play drive, a 10-play drive, and an 8-play drive, and all of them are run first.
And over 70 yards.
And over 70 yards.
Yeah.
Those three drives combined to take around 12 minutes of 30 in the second half. Yeah, so
yeah,
that's my number.
I think for me, it's got to be the lack of pressure and the lack of turnovers produced in this game. Huskies don't get a sack. Which is just astonishing considering, I mean, I know you're going up against a really good offensive line, you know, arguably one of the best in the country, but given all the pressure they got on Khalil Tate last week, who is much more dynamic of a runner than Justin Herbert is, I mean, the Huskies were just flat out missing this big 6'6", 230-pound quarterback, and that was huge. That one play, I believe in the third, fourth quarter, where I think
Bronson just missed.
Yeah, he just missed him, and then Herbert started rolling out to his left, and he found a guy for a first down, and it was a third down.
Yep.
I mean, that's just a huge play. That's a stop, and the game could be totally different. That one play, you make that play, this game could be totally different. They didn't get home. Herbert consistently found receivers in the second half. In the first half, he was kind of thrown into the dirt, but in the second half, he really stepped up. And then the lack of turnovers was just huge. Not getting a single turnover in this game. And I know you're, again, going up against a quarterback who's thrown one interception this year. I believe it was against Cal. So obviously a tough challenge, but you just have got to find a way to get a turnover in this kind of game if you want to win. So I think those were kind of numbers that made a big difference.
I guess we can wrap this up with just one takeaway. And is it just that Pac-12 ain't happening this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I think you can definitely throw out the Pac-12 championship. You know,
Oregon would have to lose 4 times, I believe, to end the season.
Yeah, because they have the head-to-head and UW has 3 losses.
Along with Washington winning out.
Oregon right.
Would pretty much have to lose out here.
Right, so I think for the Huskies, you can toss that out the window. They're not going to win a Pac-12 championship this year. That being said, there were some positives from this game. I mean, you're looking at obviously, Aaron Fuller didn't play today. Sean McGrew didn't play today. Chico McClatcher gets hurt. But a lot of young UW wide receivers stepping up. Terrell Bynum, Puka Nacua, obviously. Marcus Spiker gets his first catch.
Jordan Chin
gets his first touchdown. So, I mean, you're talking about a team that has a lot of potential, a lot of weapons. And they're playing a ton of underclassmen. Again, you're looking at a team right now where everyone in the run column, there's no seniors. Well, let's look at the seniors in the stat sheet right now. On offense, I'm seeing
Andre Bocelli
and Chico McClatcher, and that's it.
Joel Whitford in the punting game, right?
Right, Joel Whitford. And then you look on defense, and it's Brandon Wellington, Miles Bryant.
Kyler Manu. Ryan Bowman.
Bronson.
Benning. Benning Potawai.
Right, and that's it.
Yep.
I mean, again, you're looking at right now
and
Washington
you could,
defense.
There could be guys that leap to the draft. I mean, Elijah Molden. Maybe.
Potentially.
Levi
I don't know.
Enrique, maybe.
Right. But then you look down this list and you're like Trent McDuffie, Latuli Gasanoa, Latu, Keith Taylor, Asa Turner, Tryon. That's just on defense. You look at offense. Obviously, Jacob Eason could potentially leave next year. But,
same with Hunter Bryant.
Svon Ahmed, Cameron Davis, a true freshman, got his first touch. Terrell Bynum.
Kate Otten,
Puka Nacua, Jordan Chin, Marcus Spiker. I mean, all these guys are going to be back next year. And I think the Huskies still have a chance to compete, to finish this season strong. The schedule is going to start to tone down. I think we all kind of suspected them to lose at least 2 of these games in this stretch of USC, Stanford,
Arizona,
and Oregon, and then obviously Utah in 2 weeks. So I think, you know, losing 9 starters on defense is really hard. That's hard for a guy like Jimmy Lake to overcome, as good as he's been. And then on the offensive end, arguably the best running back in Washington history and certainly the best offensive player UW's had in the past 10 years in Miles Gaskin. You don't just replace that overnight unless you're at Alabama or Clemson. So I think my just takeaway is that UW still has a lot going for it this season. They got a lot of young players who played really well today. They're just not at Oregon's level, who's the top 10 team right now. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'll be the downer. Okay. Usually you're the downer here.
I know.
My main takeaway is that it could have happened today, and it didn't. And you said there's a lot coming back, and there's a lot. Like, this team was supposed to take a step back this year.
Right.
Sometime they're going to have to take the step forward. And this was just another game where they could have won this game, and they could have gotten over that hump of beating a ranked team and a team that these it's not the games that they should win that but it's the games that maybe they shouldn't, and the games that they're going up against teams that are they're in games they're not favored when they're the underdogs, when the other team's pretty highly ranked. It just really hasn't happened unless you're playing except for Washington State,
right? That's like the
that's,
one exception.
That's kind of the caveat. But if you just look in recent years, it's the loss in the three losses in the bowl games. It's the loss to Oregon last year. It's the loss to Auburn last year. Sometime you have to pull the upset.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be a really good football team, sometimes you're going to have to go punch for punch and win the tough game, which they haven't, they don't have really one to hang their hat on recently.
Yeah.
If you go up, if you look at the games that they've played against teams ranked in the top, I think it's ranked top 20 or better, their wins are against Washington State. They've got two wins against Washington State, and they've got one win against Utah last year in an ugliest football game I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I don't know. That Miami-Florida game might have been worse.
That Miami-Florida game was also really bad, but just in terms of offensive production, that was a 10-3 win.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think they're close, but they've been close in a lot of these games.
They've been close for the past three to four years,
and they're going to get another crack in 2 weeks because Utah's coming in, and unless barring a major upset, Utah's ranked in the top 15 now, I believe. Washington won't be ranked.
Yeah.
So they'll get another chance to prove themselves against a higher-ranked team.
At home. In front of a sellout crowd. You know, it's just a game that obviously UW competed in this past Oregon game, but, you know, when you're holding on to a two-touchdown lead, you expect to win, right?
And, yeah, sometime soon they're going to have to.
Agreed. All right, well, now it's, let's see, it's 6:23. Looks like the sun's gone down here at Husky Stadium, but it just went down, so that's kind of nice. There's still some light out for us to walk home. But other than that, I've been Alec Dietz, joined by Josh Kirschenbaum. And
as always.
We'll see you
in two weeks
against Utah.
This podcast is sponsored by University Bookstore. Join the Pack Rewards and save 10% on Husky gear every day, even on game day. Join the Pack today at ubookstore.com.